All right, open your Bibles tonight, please, to Psalm number 2. Psalm number 2. While you're turning, did you enjoy those guys on Sunday?
Amen.
Wasn't that awesome? I tell you, when that guy from Iraq turned around and saluted the American flag, I almost came unglued. That was one of the most touching things I've ever seen in my life. And he asked me if he could do that, and I said, well, of course. He said, it's from my heart. I said, of course you can do it. He said, I mean it. I said, yes, I understand. You can do that. Amen. I tell you that I thought Karen was going to be sitting over here. I didn't know she was interpreting. And so I went over and she was up interpreting. So I just sat there by myself. But I cried like a baby. I'm telling you, it touched my heart. And I got to pick their brains Saturday evening. And of course, you know, I had a lot of questions that I purposely asked them. And I was surprised that the fellow from Iraq had a lot to say. He is a brilliant man and very knowledgeable of the Bible, and also very knowledgeable on Islam. And I was amazed at some of the questions that I asked him, and with his boldness to answer. The fellow from Beirut is also, Brother Milad, is very, very knowledgeable of what's going on over there. And I got to ask him a couple of questions. And in so doing, I learned some things and I pieced some things together that I want to share with you tonight. Next Wednesday night, Lord willing, and if the rapture doesn't happen, I'm going to start that series on every book of the Bible. And I think it'll be beneficial to you. I've thought it through and I know how I want to do it. I've got the first one done. But it's not on Genesis. It's the first one is going to introduce the idea and show you how it's going to be done. But this afternoon, as I was thinking about all the conversation that I had Saturday night, and in doing some searching today on the internet and piecing things together, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you tonight. All right, in Psalm 2, this psalm is just absolutely amazing. I have preached from it several times over the last few years, and I want to read it to you one more time. This is what we call a messianic psalm. It has to do with the fact it is a prophecy that was given by David concerning the fact that one day the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus, will rule and reign from Jerusalem over the world for 1,000 years. All right, now, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now, that is a reference to what the kings of the earth are going to decide during the tribulation period. And they're going to decide that that they're going to destroy the Jews and going to destroy the nation of Israel and take that land for themselves. All right, so God says in verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. All right, God is going to laugh at their thoughts that they're going to get rid of God. Now, I remind you that they tried to do that at the Tower of Babel, and it didn't work out too good. Didn't work out well at all. And so, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. The devil got kicked out of heaven because he wanted to be God. And then he tried to rally Nimrod and his bunch at the Tower of Babel to go up and take over heaven. And God put an end to that. And here now the devil is going to get these kings of the earth and get them to think that they can go against the Lord and against his anointed and rid themselves once and for all of God and of these Jews. But verse 4 says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision." Now, I took Noah Webster's dictionary today. I heard Brother Figali mention this the other night, but I wasn't clear on exactly what he said. So I looked up the word derision. And the word derision, according to Noah Webster's dictionary, means a laughing stock. Isn't that something? God says that, the Bible here says, the Lord shall have them in derision. In other words, God's going to make this Islamic caliphate, these kings, a laughing stock. Now that to me is just, that's wonderful. Verse 5, "Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare this decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them to pieces, or in pieces, like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Now, let's pray together. And then I want to speak to you tonight on what's going on. All right, what's going on? Let's pray. Our Father, I pray that you will bless and help us tonight to be able to get a little glimpse of what's going on. Father, help us to see that we're in the midst of a great spiritual warfare. And I pray that we will see the big picture, that we will realize, Father, that there is a God in heaven, and that God in heaven has an enemy, and that enemy is the devil, Satan, Lucifer. And Father, I pray that we will get on the right side, as the psalmist here said, that we should kiss the Son, lest we be judged of that Son. And blessed are they that put their trust in him. And Father, we want to be a blessed people. So I pray that you will help us to trust you and to realize your grace and your goodness and your might and your power. And Lord, may we just have confidence in what thus saith the Lord. We're looking forward to that day when our faith will be turned into sight and when we will see the Son of Man sitting upon the throne, ruling and reigning over this earth. Father, give us, I pray, conviction that we'll stand and that we will not falter in our stand, but Lord, we'll stand for the truth, for the word of God. Father, bless now as we look at a few things and try to come to some understanding of what's going on. Help us now, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In 6 days, we will go to the polls in probably to vote in probably what is going to be the most important election that this country has ever faced. with the blatant assault upon the Constitution, upon the institution of marriage, upon the nation of Israel, upon freedom, and upon America, the America that we have known, that our founding fathers gave to us, with the assault upon all these things that our current administration has leveled in the past 4 years. I cannot imagine us giving this man 4 more years of unchecked, unfettered rule as president of this country. What is going on? The pastor from Beirut sent me a photo this morning of through the email that was taken over in Syria. And this photo was taken and sent to him, and he sent it to me this morning. It is a photo of our president going into a mosque when he was over there, taking off his shoes and entering into a mosque to pray. Now, folks, listen very carefully. Except for a few inactive mosques that are tourist sites that are only opened on holidays, it is forbidden for infidels to enter into a mosque to pray. Yet here is our president welcomed into a mosque to pray. What's going on? What's going on? I told you 3 years ago, and I stand behind it tonight, that you don't change your name from Barry to Barack Hussein unless you do so for religious purposes. Now, did you hear what I said? I know he says he's a Christian, but I can tell you upon the authority of the Bible that he is not a Christian. He was a member, which he therefore says equates him being a Christian. He was a member of a radical socialist church in Chicago for 20 years, where every week the reverend preaches against America and preaches against democracy and is a blatant progressive radical who preaches a false social gospel. What's going on? This president has yet to go to Israel. Not yet, not one time. He has gone to Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Lebanon, Turkey, Syria, but he has not visited Israel. He snubbed the Israeli prime minister just a month ago so that he could go to New York City so that he could appear on the David Letterman show. Snubbed the president, the prime minister of Israel. He bows to Islamic leaders when he meets them. Yet he refused to meet with Benjamin Netanyahu. And I'm asking you, what in the world's going on? Something's not right. As my grandfather used to say, something in the milk ain't clean. We have had the removal of Egypt's King Mubarak, who was an ally of ours, and whose name appears on peace treaties that were signed by former presidents and have been upheld for 20 and 30 years. But we had a hand in getting rid of Mubarak, and the Islamic Brotherhood took over rule in Cairo. Their first item of business was to condemn Israel and the peace treaties that they have and declare that the Zionist regime must go. They then aided the rebels, I'm talking about our administration, aided the rebels in Libya with arms and helped them hunt down Muammar Gaddafi. And the world watched in horror as Gaddafi was assassinated, probably with a gun delivered by the government of the United States. All of this happened because our president said that these men had to go. What in the world's going on? Now, somebody needs to be asking that question. Now, if you don't watch Fox News, you will know nothing about what I'm about to tell you. Because the mainstream media, and I'm talking ABC and NBC and CBS and CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times and the Washington Post, they are not covering this story at all. By the way, the Carroll County Times is not covering this story at all either. But back on September the 11th, just 2 months ago, our ambassador to Libya and three others were killed by terrorists, by Islamic terrorists. They were murdered. We were then told by leading officials in the administration, I'm talking Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, President himself, Jay Carney, and Pinella, the Secretary of Defense. We were told by all these people, Secretary Rice, they sent her out as the scapegoat on the following Sunday to all the news networks, and we were told that this happened as a spontaneous protest because of a YouTube video that was critical of Muhammad. For over 2 weeks at the White House, they blamed these murders on a video, and they knew better. They knew they were lying. They have not been honest with the American people. They have not been up front. In the last couple of weeks, Congress has subpoenaed several people and put them under oath, and we have learned some very interesting little tidbits. Sad thing of it is, you got to look for that information. I had to search this morning for over an hour before I found what I'm going to share with you right now. And one person testified that the president and the vice president and the secretary of state and the secretary of defense and a whole room full of White House staff were in the Situation Room watching this 7 hour long attack upon our ambassador at the compound in Benghazi. Why is that not on every front page? What in the world is going on? Now, the question is, and I asked this question back 2 months ago, what was our ambassador doing in Benghazi? What was he doing there? You see, our embassy in Libya is not in Benghazi, it's in Tripoli. And yet on September the 11th, our ambassador is in Benghazi. It was uncovered today, again, by Fox News. Nobody else is dealing with it. Nobody. It was uncovered today that there were cables sent to the White House. And it warned the White House of trouble brewing in that neighborhood where this compound is located in Benghazi. And yet our ambassador goes there. Why? And nobody has answered that question. Everyone in the State Department knew that Benghazi and knows that Benghazi is a terrorist stronghold. So what was our ambassador doing there? President Obama has been asked by a few local media outlets, not national, but when he's out campaigning, there are a few brave souls that will walk up, stick a microphone in his face, and they will ask him questions about Libya. And every single time, he skirts the question, and he has yet to answer it. He will not answer the questions. What does he not want us to know? What does he not want us to know? What are they hiding? Now, in meetings a few weeks ago, Congress was told that the folks who had gathered in the Situation Room were watching this thing unfold in real time. They were watching what was happening at the Benghazi compound. The ambassador met with a Turkish official for an hour, and then he ushered him to the front gate, and that guy then got in a limousine and they drove him away. And just a few minutes, 15 minutes later, this attack started. That ought to raise a flag for somebody. When the Turkish official leaves, then the attack began. When it started, emails and calls for help went out. And a few brave Navy SEALs who were in a safe house about a mile away requested to the White House to risk their lives to go over to the compound to help the ambassador and the few Americans that were there. And the State Department has said under oath that from the White House, they were told on three different occasions to stand down. And they disobeyed orders and went anyway. They disobeyed orders and went in anyway. In other words, listen carefully now, this administration and possibly the president himself gave the orders to let these people in the American compound die. Defying orders, a couple of them left that safe house and they came to help their fellow Americans. Two former Navy SEALs, our ambassador, and the ambassador's assistant were all slain in that 7 hour long struggle. Several Republican congressmen were asking questions in this congressional hearing, which is not being reported. The American media is just saying, there's nothing to see here, so just go on. Just, you know, don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. Just, you know, go on. But these congressmen are trying to get to the bottom of this, and they're trying to determine, first of all, what was the ambassador doing in Benghazi? And the direction and tone of the questions that they were asking these people that were subpoenaed seemed to have the congressman suspecting that the ambassador was there to meet with the Turkish representative in order to have arms sent from Libya to Turkey into Syria to help the rebels overthrow Assad in Syria. And you say, well, why would they do that? Same reason they did it in Egypt. Same reason they did it in Libya, and now they're doing it, sending them to Turkey, and then crossing the border into Syria to help Al-Qaeda defeat Assad. Now, folks, when you hear on the news the rebels in Syria, they're not good guys. All right, they're not Southerners. These are people with ties to the Islamic Brotherhood. And they are mean people. Now, if this is true, it is going to make Iran-Contra. Do you remember that? It is going to make Iran-Contra look like a Boy Scout cookout. Why are we arming Al-Qaeda? Why? I mean, aren't they killing our boys? Aren't they blowing up with our troops? Good grief. Why are we arming the Islamic Brotherhood? And why is the media hiding this story? Why is no one at CBS or ABC or CNN or NBC or the New York Times or Al Reuters investigating to see what really happened? 4 people were murdered by these terrorists. Several State Department members testified in that hearing before Congress 2 weeks ago and last week, and testified that high-ranking officials watched it all go down in real time. 7 hours long, folks, and didn't do a thing to help our people. They gave the orders for no one to come to their rescue. And you have to ask yourself, what in the world is going on? Can I tell you what I think's going on? I think what we are seeing in the Middle East, and I asked Fagali, and then I asked the pastor from Beirut, and I asked the pastor from Baghdad. I said, tell me about this Islamic caliphate. What are you hearing? And they're telling me that this Islamic caliphate is all anybody is talking about in the Middle East. It's story number one. But they cannot get this caliphate until they have all the ducks lined up. That meant getting rid of a few people like Mubarak, like Gaddafi, like Assad. They got to get them out of the picture. And what are they replacing them with? They're replacing them with the Islamic Brotherhood. This is what the Arab Spring has been all about. This is what a nuclear-armed Iran is all about. This is what the ouster of Mubarak and Gaddafi and the rise of radical Islam is all about, getting that caliphate. The Shia Muslims are working day and night to create an Islamic United States of the Middle East. They know that they are not able to stand up to Israel militarily. They have tried and tried, and each and every time, Israel has soundly defeated them. They have even launched attacks on all sides of Israel, uniting 5 nations at once against them, and even then, they were stopped. But a united Middle East under one Islamic flag is a hope that these radicals all share. Not to mention that their Islamic prophecy tells them that their Messiah, the Mahdi, Brother Fagali said the word about five times the other night, and I wasn't sure y'all got it. He called him Maddie. That's pretty close, isn't it? Maddie. He said, and he said it so quickly, I'm not sure you heard him, but I hope you did. But anyway, their eschatology says that the Mahdi cannot and will not come until there is a caliphate. That it is the caliphate that will introduce him to the Muslim world. You say, what's a caliphate? Well, look at it as the rulers from each country, and they will do the bidding of their Messiah, the Mahdi. He will be the Grand Poobah. All right? These others, like, will be like the governor of Turkey and the governor of Syria and the governor of Pakistan and the governor of Saudi Arabia, and he'll be the president. And they do what he tells them to do. So their prophecy tells them that this Messiah, the Mahdi, cannot come until they're under a caliphate. And the first order of business for the caliphate, according to Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, the first order of business will be the destruction of Israel. And according to their eschatology, the Mahdi will then lead the Muslims to destroy America, whom they call the great Satan, and Israel, the little Satan. And I submit to you that our president's actions over the last 4 years supports their cause. Our president's actions over the last 4 years supports their cause. You will remember that we learned that there are two different types of Muslims. Sunni, who believe that every single word of Islamic eschatology, they believe every word of it. They believe that the Mahdi will come. They believe that he will lead the Muslims to conquer the world for Allah. And then there are the Shia. The Shia, Ahmadinejad, Osama bin Laden, the Ayatollah, they think that these are the radicals, and they think that if they go ahead and kill and murder and plunder and terrorize and create havoc around the world, that that will speed up the coming of the Mahdi. And I submit to you folks that the actions of this administration seems to be assisting the Shia cause. Several senators and representatives in Congress think that this administration has been running guns to the Muslim Brotherhood and to Al-Qaeda to help overthrow the Sunni dictators, which allow for the radicals to rise up then and assume power in these nations. Brother Malad told me that King Hussein in Jordan is scared to death. He knows he's next. One of them, and I can't remember which one, told me that King Fahd in Saudi Arabia is scared to death. And he knows that he is on Obama's list of people who've got to go. So what's going on? What's happening? I tell you, folks, listen, plainly put, what I think is happening is that you have a world that has spun out of control. I think what you have is radical Islam in the Middle East. You've got radical progressive liberalism in America and in Europe. And you've got radical communism in China and Russia and North Korea. And I think what's happening is that all three, under the guidance and direction and inspiration of the devil himself, are working hand in hand with each other to accomplish the same goal. What is that goal? Power and control. Power and control. And I think it's strange that this president was groomed and prepared and thrust into the role of president of the United States, came out of nowhere, was never vetted. Nobody knew anything about him. And I really think that what we've got here is the devil working hand in hand with all of these false teachings and false religions, and he's pulled them all together and has them all working hand in hand with the goal in mind of collapsing the America that we know, so that out of the rubble that is left, the radical progressive left can piece together a socialist society. I think that's what he's up to. The problem is that none of these three, radical Islam, radical progressives, and radical communists, have fought through to the end game. They're using one another. But none of them have fought through the end game. They want, through their radicalism, to destroy what is here so that it can be reshaped by them into their own utopia. The Muslims want the world in submission to Allah. The progressives want a socialistic society where everybody is dependent upon the government. And communism, they want the same thing. But no one has thought that through to the end to see how it will work out for them. What will the progressives do should they succeed when Islam comes knocking at their door? I mean, if the progressives succeed and we've disarmed, and it's against the law to have a gun and defend yourself, and they've got all of us in jail because we're not giving up our guns. What are they going to do when Islam comes over here and starts flying planes into buildings again? What are they going to do when they start putting roadside bombs beside our highways? What are they going to do? They haven't thought that through, because their liberalism doesn't work in situations like that. What will the Muslims do should the radical Vladimir Putin win and Russia all of a sudden decides, we're paying too much for oil, let's go get Iran's oil? Or let's go get the Saudi Arabian oil. What will the communists do should an Islamic caliphate be organized and 1.5 billion Muslims start blowing up their cities? I mean, each of these radical groups thinks deep down in their hearts that their way is the true way to life. And what's going to happen is they're just going to destroy each other. And so they are willing now to come together and work together. Listen, folks, look at our president. He is a friend to the Shia cause. Look at Reverend Jeremiah Wright, a radical, progressive, collective salvation preacher who has a huge following, and he is best friends with the radical Muslim preacher, Louis Farrakhan. I mean, they preach side by side in rallies. Stand there and hold hands, hating America. Amazing. And here's our president didn't know the microphone was on, telling Medvedev, who is Putin's puppet, he said, tell President Putin after the election, I will have more flexibility. Yes. What does that mean? You know exactly what that means. Why is he making promises to a radical communist? Huh? I'm telling you, folks, something in the milk ain't clean. I'll tell you why he's making promises. Because they're working together to collapse the world into a shambles. And once it's collapsed, they will be there to piece it back together again in the shape and mold that they want it to be in. And the sad thing is that this president has the media in his pocket, and they're not about to tell you the truth. The sad thing is he has most, one or two exceptions, but he has most of the Democrat Party in his pocket. And they've been supporting his agenda. They've been supporting our enemies and supplying our enemies with weapons. And now they're responsible for at least 4 American deaths. And the media has blinded the people of this nation by not telling us the truth. I purposely took the Carroll County Times today to see if there was anything in it. There wasn't a story in there about this matter. Why? I want to tell you something, folks. Had George Bush still been in the White House, this would be plastered everywhere. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with our country. And this administration has blinded the people of this nation using class warfare, using race baiting, and dirty politics like our country has never seen before. And God, who sits in the heavens, is just laughing at their foolish attempts to outwit him. My friends, listen, our future depends on you and your vote. Our future, not our eternity. Our eternity depends on God. But our future here depends upon you and your vote. And we need to do what we can to make sure these people don't get put back in office. I am sure that they're worried. I'd like to think there's still enough common sense in America that we're not going to be fooled again. I'm worried. But I sure hope that there's enough common sense in America. I'm not sure that the damage they have caused can be halted now. I'm not sure it can be reversed. But I do know that if this man is reelected, you will not recognize your country in 4 years. You can hardly recognize it now. This president will redefine marriage. Remember, he's going to have more flexibility. He's already told us back in the summer that he's evolving on the matter of gay marriage. He's evolving on it. You just mark it down. He gets reelected, we'll see gay marriage, federal law. Just like O'Malley wants to do. I'm going to preach on that Sunday morning. If reelected, he'll support Islam, radical Islam, just like he has been. And he'll abandon Israel, just like he has been. He will continue to murder babies through Obamacare. And you and I will pay for it with our taxes. He will continue to murder babies. And you and I will fund it. He will continue to socialize this country until he collapses our economy. And what comes out of the rebel will be an America that you have never seen before. May God have mercy on our country. That's what's going on. We're in a mess, folks. And if ever God's people need to pray, it's now. Please come and pray Friday night or Saturday. You got to just double up over somebody else's name, but pick a time and come and pray. Well, you can have more than one person in here praying. God can hear us all. But if we sit back and do nothing, please, folks, go vote. Go vote. I know some of you have already voted. Go vote again. They do. One guy said that the Obama administration has given $724 million to dead people in the last year. Somebody else said, well, why not? They voted for him. Amen. Go vote. And let's do our part. I'll have more to say Sunday morning about the state issues. But folks, the good news is the Son's going to sit on that throne. We win. In the end, we win. And we just need to stand up while we're still here. May God help us to stand.